Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, this letter which Paul wrote to the church in Philippi is so fused through with joy. And we pray that as we listen afresh to your word, that you would give us that joy. The joy that comes only from you, even in the most difficult of circumstances, as Paul was. And we pray that you would speak afresh to us of how we should live and work as a community today. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a message from a friend the other day saying that he was busy on Friday afternoon with some of his business partners go-karting. And I thought to myself, I'm in the wrong job. But we're used to the idea of business partners, aren't we? Whatever it is that we land up doing with them. I don't know if you remember, the first Christian in the church in Philippi was a businesswoman. She was doubtless used to having business partners. And Paul, sitting in his prison cell, writes to this church in Philippi, and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And so Paul is saying that he and the Philippian believers are like partners, business partners together, in God's business. It's God's business of bringing the good news of the gospel to the world, seeing King Jesus come and transform lives and families and communities. It's God's business, but Paul and the Philippians, they're partners in it together. The Philippian Christians had stood by Paul, they'd prayed for him, they'd given money to him, they'd sent people to help him. They were partners, active partners together. And of course, many of us here are partners in the gospel here in Shirley. It's God's business, and yet we partner with him. And as we look back on the last year, if you've given time, or if you've prayed, or if you've given money, we're partners in the gospel together. And I think, as a vicar, can echo Paul's sentiment that I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel with me. Let me read out what some of our group and ministry leaders have written as they've reflected on the last year. The youth ministry team say, we're thankful for an encouraging time away at Soul Survivor and seeing our young people continue to ask the big questions in life. We've also been thankful to see a really exciting community begin to develop at the younger end. So if you've given to the church or you volunteer with the youth, you're partners in the gospel. The pastoral care team are keeping an eye on members of our church who are vulnerable in some way. Countless others give practical, emotional and spiritual support to others. If you've done any of that, you're partners in the gospel. The Ark have seen lots of new families, babies and friendship. Luncheon Club have begun to have guests asking for prayer. If you help out with either of those, you're partners in the gospel. The team going into local care homes say this, God is amazing. One staff member who didn't know God has been coming to the service over the years and now describes this as her church time. She even prayed for us at our last meeting. So if you're on that team or support them in prayer, your partner's in the gospel. The junior church leaders say, throughout the year, some of the children have made some amazing impromptu declarations of faith. Some of the children themselves have written, there are fun games that help to explain the Bible. It's fun and it helps you learn about God. So if you're on those teams or support them in prayer, your partner's in the gospel. One of the cell groups wrote, there's been an increased depth and vulnerability within the group and more accountability to each other, especially in the area of prayer. Another cell group were grateful for evidence of God's love among them as they cared for each other in difficult circumstances. So if you're in one of the cell groups or missional communities and you do that support of love and support for each other, your partner's in the gospel. You know, God is good. He's been at work amongst us over the last year. And there are so many more stories that we could share. Those are just the ones that people have written to me. But here's my favorite one. Four young people who left some of the local primary schools a few years ago and now go to Upper Shirley High. They called in to see Lena the other week. She wasn't in, so they sat and wrote her a letter. It said this, "Dear Lena, we just stopped by to see how you are as you made a big impact on our childhoods. We would love to stay in touch as you made us so happy. Whilst writing this, we're reminiscing about the good times whilst listening to some Christian raps we used to sing with you. We would love you to visit us at Ush. It is very stressful." And that moved me to tears. And not just because they're finding life at secondary school stressful, but because that letter shows the depth of the work that Lena does on our behalf in the local schools. That those children should remember 3 or 4 years on, Lena going in once a week or once a month. That is so significant. And if you give to the church or support or pray for the school's work, you are partners in the gospel. And I want to say thank you to all of you who over the last year have been partners in the gospel here. God is at work. And if you're not yet partnering with us in the gospel, please do join in. And whether it's through praying or giving money or serving practically in some way, come and join in. And here's the thing, is when we move from being consumers of the gospel, those who just sort of sit and receive, to being partners in the gospel, business partners together with God's business, it's as we do that that we find that our joy in the gospel deepens and our appreciation for what God has done for us grows and our sense of fellowship strengthens. You know, being a follower of Jesus is never supposed to be a passive thing, is it? It's an active thing. Signing up to follow Jesus means signing up for his cause. He wants business partners, not just observers. And what will our gospel partnership look like over the next year? Well, you know that recently we've identified these 7 mission priorities as areas that we want. Oh, that's not going to come up on the screen. Oh. It is. Okay, don't worry. The 7 priorities that God wants us to focus on. There's financial hardship, the teenagers, intercultural relations, older people, the environment, children and families, mental well-being. And we can only make a difference in those 7 areas if we as individuals get behind one of those 7 areas. And so we're asking everyone in the church to prayerfully think through which of those 7 areas do they want to support and partner with. And you can partner as cell groups, you can partner as individuals, you can partner in prayer, you can partner in action. And after the sermon, a bit later on, we're going to give you an opportunity just to share where you're up to in your thinking and praying about those things. Some of you have been praying hard and are ready to decide. Others have been praying hard and not feeling drawn to any particular area. That's fine. Others maybe need to begin praying about this. And we'll have opportunity to feedback on that in a few minutes. But just imagine, if everyone in the church family partners in one of those 7 areas, what sort of stories we'll hear in a year's time? We'll be able to say again with Paul, "In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." That's the partnership. Here's the promise. And this is so encouraging. Paul carries on by saying in verse 6, "I'm confident that he who began a good work in you," i.e. God, "will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Do you remember that classic mastermind line? "I've started, so I'll finish." You know, God is the master craftsman, and he started working in us, and so he'll finish working in us. We're works in progress, but he's started, and so he'll finish. He won't put us on a discard pile in his workshop because we're too difficult. He won't put us on some high shelf in his workshop and forget about us. He's started, and so he'll finish. And I find that really encouraging. You know, God has changed me this much since I started following Jesus. He's still got this much more work to do in me. But he's started, and so he'll finish. And some people who aren't followers of Jesus, just sort of checking Jesus out or whatever, they look around maybe a group of Christians and they say, well, they're not very good adverts for Jesus, are they? And they'd be right. And, you know, take a snapshot image of us, and there's still plenty of work that God has got to do. But take a time-lapse video of us, and you see the change that God has done in us over the years. He started, and he will bring it to completion. He doesn't always work on things in my life and in your lives in the order that we might expect him to, but he's still shaping us. You know, Paul wasn't actually writing this promise to people as individuals, but to them as a church community. He was saying that the work God had begun in them as a church, he would finish. And so for us, what God has started in us in these mission priorities areas, he will bring that to completion. At the end of the day, it's his business. He will see it through. I know some people have felt a bit unsettled about the talk about our mission priorities and the potential changes that will happen in some of the cell groups because of them. And I understand the qualms about that. And especially if you've got big change going on in other areas of your life, at home or at work or whatever, to have change going on at church as well is deeply unsettling. You know, God never promises that his church will stay the same. In fact, he wants the church to change. It's God himself who promises to remain unchanging through whatever the storms of life are. It's God himself who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the church has to continually change to be faithful to God's call on us. But God himself is the one that we can lean on for help and support. If you're struggling with changes that seem overwhelming, can I encourage you to look to this promise? Learn this promise. It is so encouraging that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. He won't let go of you. So partnership, promise, and finally prayer. And Paul turns from thanking God to praying for them. And I think it's so striking what he prays for. You know, he doesn't pray, he knows some of the hassles that they're going through for their faith, but he doesn't pray for that opposition to stop or anything like that. He knows that some of the church have fallen out, but he doesn't pray that they come to their senses or make up. Doubtless he knows that some of them have got health issues, but he doesn't pray for healing. He says in verse 9, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God." Now, that's a bit of a jargony and complicated prayer, if ever there was one. But here's the nub of it. He's praying that their love for God may abound more and more in knowledge and insight, so that they make the best decisions as they go through life, so that their character becomes more and more like Jesus. You know, we all make decisions every day. How should I respond as a Christian in this situation? What should I say to my friend? Should I encourage or discipline my children? Should I apply for that job? How should I be involved at church? Should I move house? Can I afford that holiday? We have countless decisions, and Paul wants them and us to make the best possible decisions as we go through life. And so he prays that our love for God will grow in knowledge and depth of insight. In other words, the more we know God, the better our decision-making will be, and the more like Christ we'll become as we walk through life. You see, Paul knows that our love for God isn't meant to be some wishy-washy love. It's supposed to be a love which is full of knowledge of God's will and insight into his character. And so as we read the scriptures day by day, we get to know God better. As we spend time waiting on him in prayer, we get to know him better. As we read books or go on courses which help us understand the Bible, we get to know God better. And the more we do those things, the better our decision-making becomes, and the more like Jesus we will become. And ultimately, you know, what we do for Jesus, our partnership in the gospel, is pretty worthless if we're not becoming more like Jesus. We might as well scrap whatever programs and mission priorities and so on we have as a church if we're not becoming more like Jesus. And so let's be praying for each other that we grow in knowledge and depth of insight of God so that our love for God abounds. Yes, we can pray for the health issues and the job situations and so on as well. But let's make sure we're praying for this sort of spiritual growth in each other. In fact, I'm going to suggest that we finish this sermon rather than me sort of praying for all of us. Why don't we all stand? And we're going to pray this prayer together. And as we pray this, I just want you to hold two or three people in mind. Maybe the person next to you. Maybe someone who can't be here this morning. Maybe one of the children who will come later on to junior church. And hold them in mind as we pray for this, as we pray this prayer together. We say, loving Heavenly Father, may their love for you abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that they may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise and praise of God. Amen.